From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Every sifting comes by divine command and permission. Satan must ask leave before he can lay a finger upon Job. Nay more, in some sense our siftings are directly the work of heaven, for the text says, I will sift the house of Israel. Satan, like a drudge, may hold the sieve, hoping to destroy the corn, but the overruling hand of the Master is accomplishing the purity of the grain by the very process which the enemy intended to be destructive. Precious but much sifted corn of the Lord's floor, be comforted by the blessed fact that the Lord directeth both flail and sieve to his own glory and to thine eternal profit. The Lord Jesus will surely use the fan which is in his hand and will divide the precious from the vile. All are not Israel that are of Israel. The heap on the barn floor is not clean provender, and hence the winnowing process must be performed. In the sieve, true weight alone has power. Husks and chaff, being devoid of substance, must fly before the wind, and only solid corn will remain. Observe the complete safety of the Lord's wheat. Even the least grain has a promise of preservation. God himself sifts, and therefore it is stern and terrible work. He sifts them in all places, among all nations. He sifts them in the most effectual manner, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. And yet for all this, not the smallest, lightest, or most shriveled grain is permitted to fall to the ground. Every individual believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. A shepherd would not lose one sheep, nor a jeweler one diamond, nor a mother one child, nor a man one limb of his body, nor will the Lord lose one of his redeemed people. However little we may be, if we are the Lord's, we may rejoice that we are preserved in Christ Jesus.
Praise to
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In the previous few broadcasts, Dr. Cairns showed how Paul established the truth that Jesus Christ is eternal God, the creator and upholder of all that exists. Christ was no lesser God, as the Gnostics taught in their heresy, by which they sought to pervert the church at Colossae. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, creation is absolutely essential to redemption. It is because Christ is the Creator God that He can be the Redeemer of His people. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
As we travel through Colossians chapter 1, we've come to the passage that starts at verse 15 and runs through verse 20. This morning I said that when we come to this great text of Scripture, we enter into mystery and majesty. Here we have the Apostle Paul's inspired confession of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the preeminent position of Christ, and finally, of the wonderful effects of His redeeming work. The point I was wanting to emphasize this morning was simply that what we have here is not what many modern Christians would term it. What we have here is not some doctrine that is for the particularly advanced. I freely confess that on reading this, this is a deep portion of Scripture. But this is not for the particularly advanced believer. This is not something to be left to the theologian and the exegete. This is not something to be given over to the scholars. This is fundamental Christianity. I said this morning that here we have a complexity. I admit there's great complexity, even in the sentence structure, in the choice of words, and every word is chosen with great care and deliberation, great wisdom from the Lord. There is complexity here, but borrowing a term from the big argument that's going on about intelligent design in the universe, I said we could call this irreducible complexity. Here is the absolute minimum. If you have any Christianity at all, if you have less than this, you have no Christianity. So this is fundamental. And I say that however difficult it may appear when you come to read these words and terms, you must not switch off. You must not simply say, I'm not educated enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not mature enough to understand this. This was written to the first century church. This was written to fairly young Christians. This is meant to be taken, studied, thought through, and applied to the heart and to the life. What the apostle is doing here, as I say, is giving his confession about Christ. In verses 15 through 17, he speaks of the preeminence of Christ in creation. In verses 18 through 20, he speaks of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And so today, combining both messages, we're looking at the preeminence of the Lord Jesus in creation and in redemption. Now, in the first part, Paul is laying an emphasis upon what he is, what the Lord is. The preeminence of Christ in the first part is the preeminence that belongs to him because of his eternal, essential being. But in verse 18, he says that he might, if I could give the words the literal force, that he might become the first. That he might become. You see, when you realize that when we get into the area of redemption, he's switching emphasis a little bit from what he is by his essential eternal deity to what he becomes because of his redemptive work. So having this morning looked at the preeminence of Christ in creation... we now come to the second part, starting at verse 18. The preeminence of Christ in redemption. But you must remember this, and I labored to underline this morning, that the glory and greatness, the preeminence of Christ in redemption, rests entirely upon the greatness of his person and work as the divine creator. This is a passage, the first part of its teaching, the essential eternal deity of Christ, shows him to be the Lord over all the angelic creation, shows him to be the creator of all the universe, speaks of him as the goal of all creation. It's all for him. And I raised perhaps a speculative idea this morning, and I certainly can't fill it out, but I raised the objection that many make to the whole doctrine of creation and the doctrine of redemption. Why would God create such a vast, vast universe if his attention is so focused on this little speck that we call the earth? Why would he do it? It seems to be overkill. Well, there's a very simple reason. He did it for his Son. And if you understand anything about the Bible, if you've grasped anything about what the Scripture teaches regarding the internal relations of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the love of the Father to the Son, who is called the Son of His love, then you could never say that anything that is done for His Son, for the glory of His Son, is overkill. It is a just and right expression of that blessedness of the persons of the Holy Trinity in their intra-Trinitarian relations one with the other. He is the great orderer and upholder of all creation. I quoted J.B. Lightfoot that because of Christ, we have a cosmos instead of a chaos. He is the one in whom it all coheres, it all hangs together. Now, that is the natural, essential preeminence of Christ. And because of that, because of what he is, he became the first. He came to hold the first place as the mediator of redemption. I just want to recap one thing so that we lay the foundation of all that I'm to say. You have no redemption without creation. This is the importance of the whole issue of the debate on creation to the Church of Christ. There are foolish nincompoops in the pulpit who would try to tell you it doesn't really matter what you do with the opening chapters of Genesis as long as you believe the New Testament doctrine of salvation. The reality is that if you deny the preeminent glory of Christ, the Creator, you have denied the very basis upon which he prosecutes his work as Redeemer. It is because he is God, because he is the Creator, it is because of all that Paul says in verses 15, 16, and 17 that he can become the Redeemer and assume the first place in all things having the preeminence. Now let us come then to the preeminence of the Lord Jesus in redemption. Verse 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. This is very similar to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, but there is a difference. There it says, he is head over all things to his body, which is the church. That's his universal sovereignty for the benefit of the church. But here it's coming to his actual relationship with his redeemed people. And it's saying he's the head over the church, which is his body. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, in order that in all things he should become the first. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20 says that the Father made peace through the blood of Christ's cross, by Christ to reconcile all things to himself, by Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, let's look at this great theme of the preeminence of Christ in redemption. Now, I'm going to make basically three simple statements. I like the smallness of the number three. I like the word simple, because they are both very misleading. And I wouldn't like you to be too seriously misled or feel I deceived you. I'll give you what Spurgeon used to do. My friend Bert Cook, who taught homiletics back in Ulster for many years. In fact, it's only just in very recent years he stopped teaching. He never did get to teach me homiletics. That's the reason I can't preach. But Bertie always used to tell the students to be careful. Remember, you're not Spurgeon. Spurgeon used to give a text, give an introduction, tell what he's going to preach about, and then he'd give his three or four or five points, lay them all out there. And Bertie said, look, you're not Spurgeon, so take it as the general rule. Don't do that. That's like pouring out all your apples out at one time, and people can see them all, and then you lift them one at a time. It takes you to be very capable if you're going to take each apple and just describe it and keep the people's interest. If they've already learned what you're going to say, they'll go to sleep. And I have to say that was pretty good advice on most occasions. However, there are times when it's essential you have a roadmap and you know where we're going. So I want you to have a look at your Bible, and I'm going to give you a roadmap tonight of where we're going. First of all, in verse 18, we're going to show that Christ is preeminent in the life of the church. Then in verse 19, we're going to show that Christ is preeminent in the fullness or the plenitude of his perfections. And then in verse 20, we'll show that he's preeminent in the success of his work. Now that's the general outline of where we're going. Now let's start at verse 18, preeminent in the life of the church. And here the apostle teaches us four great truths. First of all, he says he's the head of the body. That means he is the source of the church's life. He is the source of the church's life. The church of the redeemed has its life from him. There are so many directions that one can run with the idea of the church as the body of Christ. You can see immediately that those people who do not like the thought of the eternal purpose of God in choosing a people and giving them to Christ so that God can think of them as an entity, that those people's ideas really don't measure up to Scripture. The worry that they have against this electing grace has no basis in Scripture. There is a body that is as specific, as real to God, as well-defined, as clearly established before God as the physical body. There is a body that he calls the church. And Christ is the head of that body and that church. Now, he's not talking about the Presbyterian church or the Baptist church or any other church. He's talking about the body of the redeemed. He's talking about the totality of the people given to Christ in the covenant of redemption purchased by Christ with the shedding of his blood. He's speaking of that body, and he says that church of the redeemed is to Christ as the body is to the head. He is the head of the church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.